Okay, let's unpack this. Will AI take my job? It's definitely a question on everyone's mind these days. The headlines can be pretty dramatic, right? Making us wonder if robots are, actually coming for our careers. It's a lot. But what if the future of work isn't really about replacement? What if it's more a profound transformation that actually augments our human potential? Today, we're diving deep into some really fascinating sources. We've got research from big global players like the OECD, the World Economic Forum, and even some specific regional insights. Our mission: to cut through all that noise and give you a balanced, data-driven look at the real impact of AI on work. Let's get into it.
Absolutely. And I think to really get a handle on AI's impact, it helps to frame it as a general purpose technology, a GPT. Think about historical game changers like the steam engine or electricity, even the internet. Their power wasn't just stuck in one sector, was it? No, they spread throughout the whole economy. They automated things, sure, but crucially, they also sparked completely new innovations, created whole industries that just didn't exist before.
Right, like the internet, creating web designers and digital marketers. Things no one imagined 100 years ago.
Exactly. And the really key insight here with AI is that it's not just about robots on an assembly line anymore. That's the old view. Now it's capable of pretty sophisticated reasoning and perception, which means it's moving into the territory of non-routine cognitive tasks.
Okay, non-routine cognitive tasks. That sounds like what a lot of high-skilled professionals do, right?
Precisely. It's the core of many high-skilled jobs. So this isn't just a small tweak, it's a really fundamental shift in what intelligence means in the workplace.
So, yeah, here's where it gets really interesting. If it's not just about jobs disappearing, what do the actual global numbers tell us? Because, like you said, those headlines, they can paint a bleaker picture than maybe the data supports.
Well, that's a great point. And the good news, for now at least, is that the current empirical evidence doesn't really support a huge overall drop in employment. Look at the World Economic Forum's 2025 report. It projects that, yeah, maybe 92 million jobs globally could be eliminated by 2030.
Okay, 92 million is still a big number.
It is, but wait for it. The same report expects a staggering 170 million new ones to be created in that same period.
Wow, so that's a net gain.
A net gain of 78 million new professional opportunities. So transformation, yes, but not necessarily mass unemployment overall. Now, this brings us to what people often call the automation dilemma. We do see an estimated risk exposure around 27% of jobs in OECD countries.
Okay, 27% exposed. What does exposed really mean here? Does it mean those jobs will go?
Not necessarily. And that's crucial. It's potential exposure. It means AI could theoretically do those tasks. It doesn't automatically mean actual substitution. Think about it. Widespread AI adoption. It's a slow burn. It needs huge investment. Businesses have to completely rethink how they work. And critically, employees need training.
Right, it's not like flipping a switch.
Exactly. It gives us time to adapt, but, and this is important, we have to be proactive about it and forget thinking about it as simple job swaps, like one job out, one AI in. AI's impact is more like, well, like throwing a stone into a pond.
Okay, ripples.
Ripples, exactly. It creates effects across the whole economy. This idea of economic complexity means AI in one spot doesn't just automate. It sparks new needs elsewhere, new roles, sometimes really unexpected partnerships between humans and machines. It's much more organic, an evolving picture, not some predictable straight line.
That ripple effect analogy is really
Yeah.
helpful. So, okay, what does this complex picture mean for you? Listening right now, whether you're just starting out or maybe you're well into your career, let's try and get specific about where the risks really lie and maybe where these incredible new opportunities are popping up.
Right. Let's break it down. The jobs most vulnerable, generally speaking, tend to involve tasks that are, well, repetitive, standardized, or easily copied by algorithms or automated systems. You've got your routine physical tasks, think assembly line workers, warehouse staff, maybe retail cashiers in some setting.
Okay, the more manual, predictable stuff.
Yeah. And then there are routine cognitive tasks, things like data entry, maybe some call center operations, basic accounting functions. We also see some risk in what you might call intermediary professions. These are roles mainly based on collecting and processing standard information, like maybe travel agents, some insurance brokers, or perhaps junior financial analysts. If their main job is just relaying standard info without adding strategic insight or building strong client relationships.
So if your value is just being a conduit for basic information.
That's where AI is likely to make inroads, yeah.
Okay, but the flip side, the new jobs. You mentioned 170 million new roles projected. What do those look like? Is it all just coding?
Not at all. That's a common misconception. Yes, of course, there are AI engineers, machine learning specialists, fintech engineers developing the algorithms. That's happening. But there's this whole other category emerging, human machine interaction creators and managers.
Human machine interaction. Tell me more about that.
Think about prompt engineers. This is a really hot area right now. These are the people learning to essentially talk to AI. They craft the precise instructions, the prompts, to get the best, most useful, most creative outputs from generative AI tools like ChatGPT or others.
So they're like AI whisperers.
Kind of, yeah. They're becoming absolutely crucial for optimizing how we actually use these powerful systems. Alongside them, you have roles like conversation designers, making chatbots and virtual assistants sound more natural. And let's not forget the infrastructure specialists, cloud AI engineers, DevOps AI specialists. They're the ones building and managing the tech backbone that makes all this AI stuff run.
What's fascinating here is something you touched on, this idea of the copywriter or radiologist paradox.
Mm-hmm.
I think this really helps clarify that it's not about the job title on your business card necessarily.
Exactly.
But the specific activities you do within that job.
Precisely. At first glance, you might think, okay, AI can generate text, AI can interpret medical images, copywriters and radiologists must be doomed. But when you dig deeper, complete elimination isn't really the most likely scenario for many. Take the copywriter. If all they do is churn out very basic standardized text for, say, a simple web page, yeah, that's vulnerable.
But
a copywriter who focuses on developing a brand voice, crafting persuasive arguments, understanding emotional triggers for a campaign, that requires deep human insight. Their role is actually enhanced by AI tools, not threatened. They can use AI for drafting, research, and focus on the high-level strategy.
Okay, that makes sense. And the radiologist?
Similar story. A radiologist using AI almost like a co-pilot, letting it do a first pass on image analysis to flag potential issues, can then focus their expertise on the complex diagnoses, consulting with other specialists, and crucially, communicating with patients.
So it frees them up for the harder, more human parts of the job.
Exactly. It makes them not just irreplaceable, but potentially much more productive and valuable. So again, the future isn't really about elimination for many roles. It's about a really profound transformation of those roles. What's automatable gets redefined, and what remains uniquely human gets amplified.
Right. So that's a central idea then is augmentation, not substitution, thinking of AI as that co-pilot. But, you know, for someone listening, maybe struggling to picture this in their day-to-day, what does augmentation really look like on the ground? Can you give us a concrete example of this co-pilot idea in action right now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really about AI stepping in as that co-pilot or maybe a virtual assistant, even a sort of digital employee.
Yeah.
It takes on the tasks that are repetitive, data heavy, maybe low value add, freeing up us humans to focus on the more complex, strategic, rewarding stuff that, frankly, only we can do.
Okay, like what kind of sectors?
We're seeing it revolutionize workflows everywhere. Mm-hmm. Take logistics and supply chain. Predictive AI can analyze tons of historical data, factoring external things like weather patterns.
Oh, interesting.
To forecast demand much more accurately. This lets companies optimize inventory, reduce waste, cut costs significantly. That's augmentation. Or think about industrial maintenance. AI algorithms can monitor sensor data for machines in real time.
To predict breakdowns.
Exactly. Predict equipment failures before they happen. This allows for proactive maintenance, less downtime, and makes expensive assets last longer. Again, AI augmenting human engineers and technicians.
And what about knowledge work, like office jobs?
The impact there might be even more profound. Imagine these digital agents, sophisticated AI, almost like virtual colleagues. They're not just following simple scripts. They can analyze enormous amounts of data, understand human language nuances, even collaborate with teams on complex projects. It's almost like having an extra brain trust on tap.
Oh, wow.
Our sources suggest this could potentially double productivity in fields like research, deep analysis, even sophisticated content creation. When AI handles that heavy lifting,
humans can focus elsewhere.
Right. More energy for innovation, for tackling unstructured problems, and critically, for building relationships, internal and external.
That's a really profound shift you're describing. If AI takes over the data processing, the routine analysis, does that fundamentally change our why? How do we even measure human value when the old metrics, like speed and precision on those routine tasks, are being outsourced to machines? What's the new benchmark for being indispensable?
That's a fantastic question. And yes, it absolutely fundamentally redefines human value in the workplace. If machines are going to be better, faster, more precise at certain repetitive tasks, then our professional success just can't be measured by those same old metrics anymore. It doesn't make sense. So value shifts. It shifts towards the things machines can't do, or at least can't do well yet.
Such as.
The ability to ask the right questions, for starters, to really understand and define complex, ambiguous problems, to navigate situations where there's no clear data or precedent, and crucially, to devise strategies based on creativity, intuition, empathy, things that are deeply human.
So things like innovation, strategy, relationship building become even more important.
Exactly. Companies will need to recognize and reward ideation, genuine innovation, collaboration. Building trust. Essentially, AI becomes the tool that frees us up to double down on our human potential rather than being a threat to it.
Okay, building on that thought, this shift in value naturally leads to a shift in needed skills. With such a dramatic change happening, it's probably no surprise that the skills we need are evolving fast. Our sources are actually saying something like 39% of current skill sets could be obsolete within just the next 5 years. That's a pretty startling figure.
It really is. It underscores that skill stability is basically an outdated idea now.
So, what are the absolutely essential skills then? What should people be focusing on developing to thrive in this new landscape?
Yeah, the essential skills really seem to fall into two broad categories. First, you have the hard skills. These are the technical abilities you need to actually interact with, use, and maybe even help develop AI systems.
Okay, like what? Is it just coding?
It's more than just coding, although some programming, maybe Python, is useful. It includes things like having a basic understanding of how language models work, call it AI literacy. Data analysis skills are huge, and very specifically, that prompt engineering ability we talked about earlier.
Right, knowing how to talk to the AI.
Exactly. And these aren't just for engineers anymore. They're becoming fundamental for a much wider range of professionals who need to leverage AI tools effectively.
Okay, so those are the hard skills. What's the other category?
The other category is soft skills, those uniquely human qualities. And here's the kicker. These used to be seen as sort of nice-to-haves or added value.
But now.
Now they're becoming the real competitive advantage. Think about innate curiosity and a commitment to continuous learning. That's absolutely vital when information and tech become obsolete so quickly. Then there's emotional intelligence and collaboration. AI just can't replicate genuine trust, empathy, or those complex interpersonal dynamics needed for effective teamwork.
Makes sense. What else?
Critical thinking and complex problem solving. Humans are still the ones who have to define the real problem, assess its complexity, weigh different factors, and apply creative thinking to find novel solutions. And finally, resilience and flexibility, just being adaptable in a work environment that's constantly changing.
It sounds like the human element becomes paramount.
It really does.
No.
But there's a worrying gap emerging here. One source mentioned that something like 94% of tech leaders recognize how crucial these soft skills are becoming.
Okay, so they see it.
They see it, yes. But most organizations apparently lack the actual structure or the training programs to effectively develop these skills in their workforce. And to make things a bit trickier, the rise of hybrid and remote work has, maybe unintentionally, reduced some of those informal opportunities we used to have for learning these skills. Observing colleagues, navigating office dynamics, resolving conflicts face to face.
That's a really interesting point. The water cooler effect for skill building is diminished.
Something like that. So there's this misalignment between recognized need and actual development, and that's a significant challenge companies really need to tackle.
And I guess to see how these dynamics, the potential, the skills gap, the adoption rates play out in the real world, our sources point towards a really fascinating case study, Italy. It seems to highlight how these big global trends we've discussed actually manifest with very specific local challenges and opportunities, particularly around that human skills gap you just mentioned.
Yes, Italy presents quite a paradox right now. On one hand, their artificial intelligence market is absolutely booming, projected growth of 58% in 2025 alone. Huge numbers.
Wow, 58%. Okay.
But on the other hand, the country is actually lagging quite a bit in AI adoption. Only about 5% of Italian companies were using AI back in 2023. That's compared to an average of 8% across the EU27.
So booming market, but slow uptake by businesses.
What?
Why?
Well, despite this delay, the potential economic upside linked to AI there is extraordinary. One analysis suggests large-scale generative AI could add up to 312 billion euros annually to the Italian economy over the next 15 years.
312 billion euros. That's massive.
Yeah.
What's that in terms of GDP?
It equates to something like an 18.2% potential GDP growth. And this isn't just for the big corporations. Small and medium-sized enterprises, SMEs, which are really the backbone of Italy's economy.
Right, they have a lot of SMEs.
They do. And those SMEs could benefit from an increase of up to 122 billion euros from AI.
So the potential is enormous. What's holding back the adoption then? Is it just lack of investment?
Investment is part of it, yes. Private equity investments in AI are apparently 156 times lower in Italy than in the U.S., which is a huge difference. But the main reason cited, interestingly, goes right back to our skills discussion. It's a perceived lack of skills and know-how. Around 63% of entrepreneurs there agree that knowledge about generative AI just isn't widespread enough yet.
So it comes back to the people.
It really does. And the risk is clear. Without bridging this skills gap, Italy could end up with a kind of two-speed economy. Large companies that can afford to import talent or invest heavily in training pull ahead, while the SMEs, the majority, fall behind.
Which could really hurt their overall national competitiveness.
Exactly. It's a really powerful real-world illustration of that human challenge we were just talking about. It shows why proactive skill development isn't just a nice-to-have, it's absolutely crucial everywhere.
This really does raise a crucial question then. Taking all this into account, the potential, the risks, the skills gap, the regional variations, what does it all mean for us, for individuals listening, for companies trying to adapt, and maybe for policymakers shaping the environment? What are the concrete strategies we should be thinking about to navigate this whole transformational era successfully?
Yeah, it definitely calls for a strategic and really a coordinated approach across the board. Let's start with individuals. For individuals, the key seems to be adopting a proactive, lifelong learning mindset. Don't wait to be told. Start thinking about your job not as a single title, but as a collection of tasks.
Breaking it down.
Exactly. Which tasks are potentially automatable, which could be augmented by AI. And then actively invest time and effort in developing those uniquely human skills we discussed. Creativity, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, curiosity. That's really your engine for professional resilience.
Okay, be proactive, analyze your tasks, build human skills. What about companies?
For companies, it means moving beyond perhaps traditional top-down leadership styles. It requires embracing experimentation, being willing to try things with AI, and crucially, involving all levels of the workforce in the transition. Don't just impose it. Investing in employee reskilling and upskilling shouldn't be seen as just an expense line item. It needs to be viewed as a core strategic investment in future competitiveness and productivity.
Makes sense. Anything else for companies?
Yes, they can also leverage AI for their own internal efficiencies. Think about HR using AI for better recruitment, personalized onboarding, or mapping out career paths for employees. And as our sources really emphasize, companies have a significant ethical responsibility here. They need to proactively address issues like potential data bias in algorithms, ensure transparency in how AI is used, and establish clear lines of accountability. Building and maintaining trust is paramount.
Right, the ethical dimension is huge. Okay, finally, what about policymakers? What's their role in smoothing this transition?
Policymakers have a crucial role, especially in ensuring a fair and inclusive transition. Policy should really focus on enabling widespread professional reskilling. That means bridging the digital divide, creating accessible training pathways, not just for technical skills, but also for those transversal human skills.
Supporting the workforce development.
Absolutely. And providing targeted incentives, especially for those SMEs we talked about, is essential to prevent this technological revolution from widening economic inequality. And while there's growing debate around things like universal basic income or UBI.
Yeah, that comes up a lot.
It does. But our sources seem to clarify that it's probably not a standalone silver bullet. It should be evaluated carefully as part of a much broader policy package, one that definitely includes robust training programs and active support to help people adapt to the new world of work.
So it sounds like a multifaceted approach is needed from everyone involved.
Definitely. Individuals, companies, governments, everyone has a part to play.
Okay, so wrapping things up, it really feels like the underlying fear, that narrative of AI simply stealing jobs, kind of misses the bigger, much more complex picture we've explored today. We've seen from the data and the analysis that AI is actually a powerful force for transformation. It seems to be driving a net gain in jobs globally when you look at the projections and creating these incredible new roles and opportunities we couldn't have imagined before.
That's right. And the main challenge, as we've really unpacked, seems to be fundamentally human, not technological. The future of work isn't set in stone. It's not predetermined. It's going to be shaped by the choices and the investments we make right now as individuals, as organizations, as societies. It really comes down to seeing AI not as some kind of adversary to compete against.
As a tool.
Exactly, as a powerful tool to potentially unleash human potential, to augment our capabilities.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. As you consider your own path forward in this changing landscape, remember this. The key to thriving in the AI era probably isn't about trying to outcompete the machines at their own game. It's much more likely about learning how to collaborate with them effectively. It's about really doubling down on those uniquely human capacities, our creativity, our empathy, our critical thinking, our ability to connect the things that no machine, no matter how advanced, can ever truly replicate.
Well said.
So the question to ponder might be, what activities, what higher value tasks will AI free you up to pursue? And perhaps more importantly, what uniquely human skills will you consciously cultivate to truly thrive in the years ahead?